Just don't take them outside the door. Just have them wherever you are now. I've always wanted to say that. Guys, this is a special time. You know, Steve commissioned me to speak about works and the Holy Spirit. We've had some serious works here this morning. And there's been some serious responses to the presence. And you know that presence is in your heart. All that you need is in your heart. Did you hear those prophetic words as they came? And you don't have to fight. You know, we wrestle, and we wrestle against this, and we wrestle against that. And the Holy Spirit says so clearly in His Word, through His prophetic Word this morning, we don't have to do it. Now, why do you do it? You need to get this out of the way and start responding with your heart. And I hope I'm going to give you a couple of pointers this morning. And I've got a journey that I want to take you on, but I thought I'd tell you about a little journey I had. As you all know, I went up to Livingston. What's up? Okay. Sorry, guys. I always forget about when it's part of our worship here. So the offering, Okies, please do come up. And not now. This way, not now. Right? Can you guys go and do it? Lord, we just pray that as we give our offering this morning, that it'll be used towards Your kingdom and Your purposes for what You want. And so, Lord, we just thank You. We thank You for the privilege of being able to give into Your kingdom. We thank You for the privilege of being here this morning and being able to be a blessing to you and to everyone here. Anyway, the journey I want to take you on is what happened to me now in Livingston. Now, as some of you know, I've been to quite a few trips. I think this is the 8th trip I've been on. And when you get as young as me, hey, you're not supposed to laugh at that. But when you get as young as me, you know, you start, you know, this mountain builds up. Yo, am I going to be able to cope with it? What about this and what about that? And I just said, you know, this is now before I'm going, the day before, I said, Lord, You have opened the door. You have said I must go. I am trusting in You. Now, just like we trusted this morning, no different. You're talking about the works of God. One of the works I think we need to do more and more is trusting in the Lord. Trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. Trusting in His blood that we've celebrated this morning. Trusting in His body broken for us. Trusting in His redemption. Trusting that He can heal us and deliver us right now. And I just sense there's a presence here this morning for you to receive that. And this is what I did. I just went to Him and said, Lord, it's all about You. So off I toddle. I said, Lord, I'm just going to be conscious of what You need. And the first place I got to was King Shaka Airport. After Anne dropped me and I took the bags and I put my bags through, I walked through and there was a guy on crutches and he had a broken foot and I didn't see his face, but I saw and I just sensed that this guy was in tremendous pain. And I thought, well, let me go and pray for him. And I knocked and said, excuse me, sir. And he turned around and it was Errol. I don't know if you remember, some of you remember Errol. He used to be in this church. Errol East, yeah. He'd broken his foot. I told him, did you kick the dog or what? But no, he didn't do that. He fell and slipped and broke his foot. But he was in terrible pain. And I said, there, right in the airport, I said, come on, let us pray. Please, it's not a big deal. It's things that I believe we should be doing. You know, I think as Bill Johnson said, that's open season. Come on. I didn't need a word. I could see the guys in pain. I didn't need a word from God. That is the works we should be doing, guys. And how many times we walk past people like that and we don't do anything. And I don't say I'm a big deal. I really wanted to do what God wanted. So I shot off and I forgot my deodorant. And I went into the shop and I bought, you know me, I always say, don't come visit me, I'll change my deodorant. But I have changed my deodorant. I found one there. It says, You the fire. What a prophetic word. So every time I, shh, you the fire, mate. Come on. And it was a little thing, but to say, you're the fighter, wow, that's cool. And yeah, I've had breakfast and I'm toddling off, and then I had to go to the boys' room. And I went down the passage and it's got that little picture with a girl and a boy, and you've got to discern who's who in that picture. And that takes quite a lot of discerning sometimes, depending where you are. So I got there, and I saw this picture, and I walked in, I went there, did my thing, walked out there, and a lady walked in, and I said, excuse me, the ladies is around the corner. So as I was walking out there, two of the cleaners over there laughing their heads off said, this is the girls. So my discernment went out the window, guys. But I felt, no, I'm obviously getting too old for this, I must really... You know, so off I toddle, go down, do my thing, laugh, you know, told Anne, don't tell anybody and all this sort of thing, that I've lost it completely. And I get down there and you got your boarding pass. Now remember, you know, here's God's man, the hour of the power, we're going down, wow, and got, you know, the Holy Spirit's with me. I get out, I give my boarding pass, get on the plane, into Livingston, get out the plane there. And my taxi driver... My trusty old taxi driver is waiting for me. So I get to the car and I do the charismatic, you know, where is it? Can't find my wallet. You know? And your first reaction when you can't find that wallet is panic. And my taxi driver, God bless his soul, I've been ministering to him all week or the last week, said, oh, this is terrible. You've lost that. You lost. I said, whoa. He said, God has sent me to Livingston. Therefore, he knows where my wallet is. And the people at the airport in Livingston were super. They took me back on the plane. I couldn't find it there. And we walked around and everything like this. And then I got back and I phoned Anne. I said, Anne, cancel all the cards. I don't know where this thing happened. I thought it was in the shop. You know, the thing is, when you get as young as me, you tend to forget things. Now, some of you have been there, and some of you are getting there, and all that sort of thing. I call them growth pains, by the way. You know, your teenagers also forgot things, don't they? Come on. Thank you. I've got a yes there. So I go in there, and I sit, and I thought, wow, Lord, this is terrible. You know, if I lose my driver's license, oh, the thought of going in the queues, if I lose my ID, and because I'm so young, I got an ID for free. No how. Huh? You do, you young Oaks must do it sometime. So I had all this picture of this sort of thing. I thought, no, whoa, stop the boat here. I lay on the bed, and the scripture that was read this morning is one of my favorite scriptures, Exodus 14:14. And I said, Lord, you said you will fight on my behalf. I lay down, I sat there, tring, ORT Airport, we have found your wallet. In ORT Nohal. I mean, that's miracle stuff, guys. Come on. That's a miracle. And I thought, well, as I said, God knew what it is. I believe, I really believe, if I started paffing, getting myself worried, it would have given the devil a right to go and mess that whole thing up. Yeah. I got all my cards back. I got everything, bar my, and the money I had in the one side. The other side had $140. Some guy has been, I blessed him with that. And ask that Lord with a blessing, send a brick, you know, or whatever. But you hear what I'm saying? It was God, you know. He, and the whole time in these 10 days, last Sunday, a fairly large church, I went to minister there, and the presence was so real and tangible. I had an experience of angels standing next to me as I was preaching the gospel, just as I have the sense of the presence right now around us. And in you and around us, and God doing his thing there. And I was able to pray for everybody there. And we had a fabulous, fabulous time. And I came back really encouraged. Not encouraged because of me, but encouraged because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you that you cannot, and I'm saying it here this morning very clearly, you cannot get going without the Holy Spirit every single moment of your day. Come on. If you want to do the works of God, you can only do it through the Holy Spirit. If you're using this, I'll give it to you in writing, you're going to come short. The power that is within you, the presence that's within you will do it. Not you. Not you. It's the Holy Spirit who said to me, go and just relax on the bed. It wasn't Bill Brain. It was a little lighty called Bill Brain. Hey? Who to become a lighty again and just trust the Lord implicitly. Implicitly, implicitly, implicitly. The Lord's got a calling on your life. Don't know where you're from. But God has brought you here for a purpose. Don't look at the purpose that's in your mind. Look at the purpose that's in your heart. He's going to fill you afresh. He's going to take you into places. He's going to equip you to do great exploits for Him. How's that? Yeah. Sorry, it just... Now, I was... Can you put the slide up, please? Ooh. This is what Steve commissioned me to do. So I've got to submit to that. Good works and hearing from and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I gave you my story. But my story actually started 43 years ago in a place called Mutare in now Zimbabwe, when the Holy Spirit came upon me and baptized me in His presence. I will never forget it. I nearly turned the car over. I started speaking in tongues from the time it happened to the time I got home. My late wife thought I was going bonkers, which I was, you know. But here it is. Romans 8:2, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Who are you being led by? The thoughts in your mind or the thoughts from your spirit? If it doesn't come from a position of peace, where does it come from? All those things you've tried, all those things that just collapse, that's chacha stuff. That's stuff where you cry and, you know, throw your toys out the car. But when the Holy Spirit does it, different thing. You know, I say to the pastors when I minister to them up there in Livingston and Africa, I say, if God has called you here, God will take care of your every need here. He won't take care of it everywhere. Start trusting God. Don't lean upon me. Don't look at this mulungu and think he's going to bring money. He's not going to bring money. He's going to help you to have faith to get money. And already we got Shane is going to come up to Livingston to help the local pastors and help them to empower them to make money themselves and to get out there and do it and stop waiting on other people. All that we need is in the Holy Spirit. And we are the sons and daughters, by the way. Don't feel bad, ladies. Thank you. Yeah. For as many as they are, He is not merely an influence that enables us to see the way that God would have us go. He's not only that influence, okay? Nor merely a power that gives us strength to go that way, but a person who takes us by the hand and gently leads us in the paths in which God would have us walk. Now, in saying that, the things that you are dealing with, take your hand out of your own pocket and put it in God's hand. You know, the sense of the presence last week was just amazing. As He came and said, yeah, you're in the right thing. You know, what I'm going to say now, in the 10 days that I was there and even while I am here, I didn't have any problems whatsoever. No growth pains. The growth pains stopped. The Lord had taken me. You hear what I'm saying about growth pains? I said, some of you looking at me blank. But you hear what I'm trying to say. It was an amazing. I had strength. You know, I ministered last Sunday for 3 hours. I ministered an hour after listening to all their worship. I ministered an hour and I prayed for every single person in that place. Now, guys, it's not me. It's not about me. Please hear that. It is a presence. It is a Holy Spirit who strengthens us. It is a Holy Spirit who wars for us. No matter if that army is coming to terrorize us, He is still on top. He is still on top. Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You heard that in the prophetic word this morning. And you heard in the prophetic word too that He is saying He is here. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to get back to Pentecost. We need to see what Pentecost has for us. Now let me see if I'm going to be able to do this now. Oopsie. The power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And I put in brackets there, that's my little thing there. Works. Works. Okay, witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we know what that means. Our Jerusalem is here. Our Samaria is out, or our Judea is on the outskirts, and our Samaria and all that is out there somewhere. Okay, and we need to be ready to go. We need to trust the Lord. Sorry, I've forgotten your name again. Neville, man. Sorry, Neville. Neville, I just sensed, and I sensed it while I was sitting there, that you have so much to give into the kingdom. And the Lord wants you not to look at where you are now and where your age is and everything, but He wants you to pick up that authority He placed in your hand. He put a staff in your hand, and He's put it into your hand for a purpose. He didn't say stop, He said go. And He's going to open doors for you as you trust in Him and trust in His presence and walk in His presence. And He'll open doors not according to your thinking, but according to the move of His Spirit in your heart. And He will take you into places where you will see the dead being raised, the people being healed because of that anointing that's in your place. So He says, trust the Lord now. Walk in that trust. Even from here as you walk out, the presence is with you. The presence is upon you. The presence is around you. And move into it right now. Amen. Sorry. These things happen. The power of the Holy Spirit. But the power of the Holy Spirit. How many times haven't you preached on that? Huh? Come, Ocean. There's no South Africa. Come. Trust in that power. That power is going to do things in your life. And then, what? You are not saved by works, but you are saved for works. That is a scripture. That is one that is used in the Methodist Church. Old John Wesley, you must read about these old toppies, what they got up to back there. And we think, oh, we in this new age, well, we're going to have things. God, you know, when John Wesley preached, and the people was in the trees, and Wednesday got them out the trees, because when he started preaching, people started falling out under the anointing. Now, you've never had anybody fall out of a tree yet when you preached. So, but get ready. I mean, he came before us. He gave us some values that we need to move into. And when you look at the men of God that have come after him as well, there are so many I could mention to you right now. The Catherine Kuhlmans of this world, when she moved in, the presence was there. She continually invited the Holy Spirit into the meetings. And wow, what things happened in her ministry. The dead were raised, the people were healed. Just by, as they walked in the door, they were clocked. You know? I mean, come on. You see, now we're sitting in a new era or new age or whatever thing now. I believe this is a time where you and I, every single person in the church now gets up off their blessed assurance. And by the way, I'm going to, what's it when you put it in the... I'm going to patent that saying because somebody stole it from me. No names, no pectoral. But we need to, you know, jokes aside, we need to get off our blessed assurance. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, God has called you, and God has called you to do the works of God. Now, you might think, oh, well, coming up here preaching. That's one of the things. But, you know, you could be making coffee. You could be getting some water. There's just 101 things. But it needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as you're led by the Holy Spirit to do these things, God will use that and God will break through for you and break through into other people's lives. As you make yourself conscious of the presence all the time, God will put circumstances and people across your path all the time. Oh, it's just amazing. Yesterday, I did a memorial service to a very good friend of mine in Richards Bay. And at the memorial service was one of the pastors from Impangeni, who I know very well over the years. And he was telling me something, and I've got to share this with you. He said that he got a call from a guy who was a Hindu. And this Hindu says, man, I've got somebody here. We've taken him everywhere. And he's full of demons. He's vicious. He's this, he's that, and everything. Can you help? And this pastor said, yes, bring him here. We'll pray for him. And I'm cutting a long story very short. Brought him to the church. They cast all the demons out. Took a bit of time. Vicious demons they were and all that sort of thing. The guy calmed down. The people were astounded by what has happened. Now, the funny thing about the story the guy where the demons were cast out from is a leader in the local mosque. You know? Yeah. Let's laugh. The devil, what the devil wants to take and bring fear to us, God is bringing these sort of things across. So this has led now to the mullah of the mosque and the other leaders of the mosque to come to the church, to sit with the pastor and ask him, what is happening here? What an opportunity. Now, I'm telling you the story because I don't think this is going to be an isolated case. Just in the last couple of months, I've just seen God put people across my path. In the plane, everywhere. Just be conscious of who you are, what God has put in your heart. Every single one of you has something to share. Every single one of you has something, a testimony. You know, we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And the power of a testimony is so powerful. You know, I've seen guys argue with the Jehovah's Witnesses before. And it's wada-wada, and they become more confused after they've argued with them because they don't know their theology properly, and they know their theology probably better than your theology, and all the wada-wada-wada. But you know what you do? When you meet them again, say, excuse me, I don't know about this, but this is what Jesus has done in my life. I tell them my testimony, and they look at me, and I say, can I pray for you? No. But you know how they are. They can't deny my testimony where my daughter was raised from the dead. It started with a miracle. My life's going to end with a miracle when we see the glory of God just returning in the church and wherever we are. And I see the glory here this morning. I saw the glory of the cloud. The cloud started on Saturday in my mind, and it is still here. Hook into it. Plug into it. And feel the electricity of God coming through yourself and coming through your circumstances. Is that okay? Woo, and I haven't even started yet. Let me see if I can get this moved on. Work at His presence. This is what I've been trying to say to you. Work at His presence. Now, we're talking about works, doing works. And, you know, there's always been a lot of controversy in the church about works. Oh, no, you know, that's worldly, that's that. Guys, you know, use the creativity that God has placed in your heart to reach people. And I've said it from the pulpit before. My hobby, militaria, collecting medals and badges and all that sort of thing, has given me opportunity to speak to umpteen people who will never put their feet across the threshold. Now I've taken up a new hobby, as young as I am, photography, and I'm meeting people that will never be in the church. Create opportunities for you to rub off on other people. And how do you do it? How do you do the works of God? If you meet a Muslim, you first build relationship, one-to-one. Build relationship. How you are? What's this about Islam? You know, and ask him about Islam. And let him tell you about it. Let him tell you. And you know, don't say a word. You don't have to say a word. The presence is enough. And just pull him out and then take him for coffee again and say, oh, you mentioned that about Islam the last time. Yeah. What do they believe here? Oh, well, that's... And you know, on the third time, he's going to ask you the question, well, what do you believe? And the door will be wide open. Why? You've earned the right to speak into his life. And what does God call us to? To work at His presence, we create the right atmosphere when we do that for the Holy Spirit to come and do that. In the past, and my brothers here will agree, you know, the access to Walker, oh, the blood of Jesus, get away from me, you vile man, woo! And we wonder why everybody ran from us. Come on. And some of our theology, you know, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. If you know Him, you've got enough to get out there and change the world. It's not inside here it's going to happen. It's outside there where it's going to happen. You are being equipped now. You've been equipped now. And the prophetic normally comes in and takes what the teacher says and stirs you up to go and do it. So this morning, I trust that I'm stirring you up to walk out that door and not be the same person regarding the presence. And I'm telling you now, if you're not praying in tongues every day, you're losing it. Now that might, you must say, oh, no condemnation. No. The grace message gives us a freedom to wallow in that awesome presence And you got a basiri andor, basarabandi, and awako, shorobandaki, yata. And you just sit there and you let it go. But you know, in your own way, you can whisper as well. Because you start doing that at work, they're going to lock you up and put you in a little straight jacket. You know, God has given us the gift of wisdom. And we need to use wisdom. And we need to use all these things. And enough about that. To have as one's ever-present friend, listen to this. I put this on because it just sums up what I'm trying to say. Friend, to be conscious that one has his ever-present friend, the Holy Spirit, and to surrender one's life in all its departments entirely to his in Christ, to his control. Entirely. Completely. Utterly. Okay? This is true Christian living. Now, it's not my statement. It's R.A. Tozer. So when you get to heaven, you can have it out with him. But that's a true statement, I believe. Okay? What he's saying there, that is true Christian living. Christian living. God has blessed us with a message of grace that gives us a total freedom to flow into what he has for you. He doesn't give you a freedom to sit on your blessed assurance. Hear what I'm saying? But he gives you a freedom to get off and to find that thing which you need. And if you ask him, he will tell you what he wants you to do. Come on. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. If you ask him, he will tell you. And you know, with all these things that have happened to me over the last couple of years specifically, every time I've asked the Lord, he's come to the party. I might have sweated a bit, but my trust and my hope is in him alone. He's the one who speaks. He knows how to get through to me. He just has to give me a rack of medals and then I'm all, you know, googly again and whatever. Sorry, I just threw that in for. But I'm, you know, even my hobby, what I wanted to say, even in my hobby, I collect with him. He opens the doors. He does that. And it's a pleasure because I use that to reach other people. My other hobby, too, is getting out of the bush birding. And Anne and I do a lot of birding and stuff together. You'd be surprised the people you meet. So I'm just throwing these things out. You know, Christian living. What is in the mind? What is a box? When we were on the leadership weekend, we were challenged about the box. And you remember, I had the box here the one day. You kill the box and kick it out the way. Because all of us sitting here have got a box. Take hold of yourself. Kill that box. And get into what the Holy Spirit has for you. He has just so, so much. And don't sit back, I'm too old. Oh, that's not my calling. Wada. How many excuses? Excuses. And the devil sits there laughing when you make those excuses. Yes, he does. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the inmost life of God himself to dwell in a personal way in us with all the power of heaven. You know, we talk about a personal relationship. You know, hey, have you got a personal relationship with God? Have you got a personal relationship? Have you? And we got this sort of religious thing. Yeah, I've got this. But really, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? That's the challenge to you this morning that I want to put. Is your relationship so very, very personal that he speaks to you like a son or a daughter? You know, Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, and I fight to become like a little child every day. Sometimes I don't want to. I want to wallow in some of the things that are around, and I realize that's error. I shouldn't be doing that. I should be just relaxing with the Holy Spirit. Yes, there are the daily grind of life, if I may put it like that. But to deal with the daily grind of life, you need the presence. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I make no excuse of saying that this morning. You need to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. He needs to fill you to overflowing. You need to be speaking in tongues and healing the sick and casting out demons and raising the dead. Come on. Oh, are we doing okay? Is that good? Only the Holy Spirit makes it good. All right. What's our time like? I don't look at time, so if you... I don't time out on this one. Come on. The Holy Spirit is ready. The Holy Spirit has always been ready. it's you who has not been ready. Eh? Okay. He is always ready to help. You know, I have this picture in my mind, which I've always shared, and I probably shared it here before as well, of a home with a father. And the father's working in the front garden. The son is working in the back garden, and he stands on a rake or hits his thumb or something. Dad, help! And dad will just about break down the house to get to the son on the other side to help when he hears that cry of help. And that's a picture I have of my father in heaven. And in headquarters in heaven, where all the angels hang out, all those big dudes, they've got a recording there. And the recording just says, help. And they know on the top of the recorder there, they've got Bill Brain. So, oh, he's calling for help again. So it's a continual process. They know that they need to be with me all the time. And I sense them all the time. When I was in Livingston now, and all this sort of thing happened, my question was, I sat there. Now, we're not allowed to talk to angels and stuff, but I know I can talk to the Lord. But I had it out with the angel. I said, where were you guys? Come on, where were you guys? Huh? And then they clapped me, and it was found everywhere. So I didn't have to pat me. You know, we worry about things we don't need to worry about. We get concerned and uptight about things we don't need to be concerned about. The experts tell us that 98% of the things you worry about never happen. So why worry? Why get concerned? Trust in the Holy Spirit. He is ready to help you every step of the way. He is ready to come into our churches, however imperfect and worldly they might be. And this is what I've been trying to say to you. If we are willing to put absolute and total control into His hands, that's where it happens, guys. That's where we're going to see it. Everything into His hands. When we do that, everything else will flow out of that. And we will hear God, and we will flow together, and we'll be one together, and the world out there will say, wow, wow, we need that. And this place will be to overflow. By the way, this place is going to be to overflowing. One day, you'll have to come here, and you'll have to put your name on the seat, if you want a seat. Because the crowds are going to come in to be healed, delivered, set free. They'll bring the dead, they'll bring everybody here, and we will do the job. Amen. Is there enough faith in the house this morning? Is there enough trust here this morning to trust that God is going to use you? You've heard the grace message. You're now free to be yourself. A mighty warrior in the kingdom of God. A mighty warrior with the armor of God ready to take out everything the devil has tried to do. And to establish His kingdom. Well, we'll get there now. The Holy Spirit is ready to bless us. The empowerment of God Himself. When we look at the word bless, bless means empowerment. If you had to take Deuteronomy 28, for instance, you know, blessed are you in the country, blessed are you in the city, blessed, 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 blessed. I always look at that. Empowered are you in the city. Empowered are you in the streets. Empowered are you wherever you go because of the Holy Spirit. Huh? That was Old Testament. Now we have New Testament. Now we have the freedom to be a blessing and to empower people. In Livingston now, we're empowering the church in Livingston. Steve is going with me and a couple of other people from the church going with me to go and help to empower the local church to get on and do the job. If we say we have something, if we say we have a message, if we say we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we need to allow those things to start happening. And we need to rub off on our brothers and sisters around us. Not in any religious way, not putting the law upon them. Because so much, as you go out there, is law and grace. Some of the things I see out there, I don't like. Personally, I don't like. I don't like some of the theology. I don't like some of the things. But that's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the calling and God putting us there so we can do the works of God and show people the freedom that we do have. Huh? You hear what I'm saying? And so many times we switch off people coming with our theology and not first coming with a heart of a father, the father heart of God, reaching out all the time to everybody around us and being a help to everybody. Oh, that's a little doofus that says, ah, come on. Help! Next one. The Holy Spirit is ready to speak. The Holy Spirit is ready to speak. is ready to speak to you, and he will give you words to speak to other people as well. And you are a mighty tool in the Holy Spirit's hand. Every one of you sitting here has a different personality. Everyone sitting here this morning has a job to do, a work to do for the Lord. He has called you. Before the foundation of the world, he saw this day. Before the foundation of the world, he saw a people that will trust him and walk with him. And he saw a people that will be filled with his presence and will have the audacity to walk out and to trust the Lord for these mighty miracles around. Not for your sake, not that your name will be lifted up or anybody else's name be lifted up, but that the name of Jesus Christ will be seen above all and in all. Amen. Can you put the next one on there for me quickly? Acts 13, you can read it yourself. And I want to give a little testimony, and we'll end on this one. I think it was before I came to Pinetown, I had a dream. Now, I've had dreams that I don't really need to have to write down. They are still with me. Although I put the dates and all that, I didn't even look it up. But I had this dream of my mother, the only dream that I've had of my mother. And when I think of my mother, I trusted her implicitly. I knew she had my well-being at heart. I knew that she loved me and she would die for me. And in the dream, she came and gave me a card. And this is a card that has inspired me so much to go out and to do the things that I do and misbehave all the time. Totally out of control, but in control of the Holy Spirit. With me? So here I get this card, and on it is Acts 13, 1 to 13. In the card, in the dream. And immediately I went to it. Now, there's three words, if you can put it up for me quickly. The Holy Spirit said, next one, the Holy Spirit sent and filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. I believe are very valuable keys for you to hold in your heart. Go and read Acts 13 by yourself. You'll see that these prophets and teachers got together. They fasted and prayed. Okay? And the Holy Spirit said, set apart. The Holy Spirit said. No man said it. The Holy Spirit said. They created the right atmosphere like this morning. This is the right atmosphere to hear from God. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, the Holy Spirit has been getting our attention this morning, hasn't he? Hey? For everything that has happened. And then we see there, once the Holy Spirit said, set apart, they then sent them out. They laid hands upon them and they sent them out. Now you're going to see in this church, people coming to the fore and the eldership of this church laying hands on those people and setting them apart for certain ministries. Doesn't matter what it is around here, there is something to do. Now you need to stand up to the plate. Not like some of these fickle Christians that hop around and, oh, well, it's not happening there. It takes faith and dedication. You have the freedom because you have the grace message to step up to the plate and do what God tells you to do in your heart. And then we see, if we read the story, you see our Paul, who they call him Saul there, Saul, who was called Paul. And he went around and he was preaching the gospel, and this little girl was following him. Yeah, 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 you are the Son of God. Yeah, 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 yeah. And eventually he got so mad, he turned around, filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit. He said, demon, get out. Get out. And it happened. I don't know if he was more shocked or whatever the case. You know, sometimes when you do that, what's happened here? But guys, we just need to start trusting in this awesome presence that's in our hearts. And where's the worship team? Oh, there you are. There you are. No, but that's fine. You can just come and sing here with us quickly. Just come. And that old song, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Let us just stand and do it again. Let's just stand and trust the Holy Spirit to move in your heart, to do what he needs to do. And if you need healing this morning, and I know in a group this size, there are some of you that need healing. Some of you have been diagnosed with some funny stuff. If that's you, please, come here. The leaders are here to pray with you. Not only the leaders, if you feel that you want to be involved in praying for healing for people, you're welcome to come and pray and stand together with them and bless them. Empower them. Empower them with the healing of God. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you've never spoken in tongues, I challenge you, come out here. We'll pray for you and we'll believe together with you. As we sing this song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. It's an old song, but it has such power. Amen. Let us do that.